Hi, welcome to the Movie Vault. My air conditioning just turned off. I'm Zach.
And I'm Ben. My air conditioning, I don't really have air conditioning, so it didn't turn off or anything.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. Today we're going to review the favorite TV shows of us. And we picked five. We each picked five. We did it based on three categories: plot, characters, and rewatchability, since those are the three that you go to watch a TV show for. We're excluding a few different things, like relevance or importance, including to our own lives, relatability, or any feelings at all. So yeah. This is strict. This is this is numerical. It's quantitative. And we are also excluding the totality of the series, meaning we are focusing on the peak seasons because shows always change in quality from season to season, and we don't really know how to evaluate that. So with that in mind, we are going to start with possibly some honorable mentions.
Yeah, how do we want to do the honorable mentions? Just read them off?
Yeah, I can go first.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So, in my honorable mentions, I have live action. I have a few dramas, so Better Call Saul, it's a great one. Sherlock, it's good. Classic mystery. The Walking Dead. Now, The Walking Dead's quality has definitely declined in the last few years. But peak Walking Dead, I'm talking seasons 3 through 6, even, like 6 halfway through. Some of the best television I've ever seen, and just the brutality of the series is so intense that the viewer almost is like squirming in their seat by watching these disgusting things happen on the screen. I've never seen anything more gory in my life than the show, and I think that's a benefit. So Doctor Who, Matt Smith era, David Tennant era, top peak Doctor Who. Now that the showrunner is coming back, I have hopes for seasons 14, 15. And then one comedy, Arrested Development. I think the writers, the Russo brothers, they did really well on that show for at least the first three seasons. Seasons 4 and 5, or whatever the last two were, just pretty much terrible. And then in animations, I had Phineas and Ferb, classic. Every episode's the same, but they throw little new twists in there. Dr. Doofenshmirtz, the most relatable character in all of everything. Gravity Falls, gotta love Stan, Grunkle Stan. Avatar: The Last Airbender, great show, well written, comes to a great conclusion, very focused, narrative based show, so great. BoJack Horseman had some ups and downs, kind of took a season to find itself, but again, we're not including the totality of the series, so peak BoJack Horseman was great, just the drama. And Rick and Morty, funny. Peak Rick and Morty was funny, seasons 2, 3, after that, probably not. But what about you? What honorable mentions do you have, Ben?
Okay. My honorable mentions are live action. I kind of ordered them in a certain order, I guess. So I'll go bottom to top. The Mandalorian. I haven't seen the latest season, so I can't count it on my favorites. I think it's a really good movie. Obviously, we watched the really good TV show. We watched the Spaghetti Western, so we saw the influence. So as far as like Star Wars, newer Star Wars stuff, it's probably among the best. Like new Star Wars stuff that's happened. Arrested Development's also on mine. I've probably only seen the first season. It's really funny. I don't know why I didn't keep watching it. Maybe it's like funny, very funny, but like not enough to like fully keep my attention. So that's, I think, crazy. That's why it's here. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Sometimes I feel bad for watching the show, which is why I don't think I've gotten past like season 4. But it is really funny and has some of the best, like, I don't know, maybe more inflammatory humor of any show, that just between Charlie and Danny DeVito's character Frank and Dennis, it's hilarious. Family Ties is like my family would watch it together. Love Alex P. Keaton and Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, but people, you have to exclude feelings.
No, yeah, but I think it's a really good show.
Okay.
I think it got better as it went on, which is also nice. It started out kind of thinking it was going to be more of a serious comedy show where it was going to like teach lessons and stuff, but by the end it got kind of like ridiculous and more fun. Twin Peaks, I've seen the first season. It's really good. It has me intrigued. I'd like to see where it goes from there. The Cosby Show, I was going to put this... The Cosby Show, I realized, does have a lot of feelings associated with it. So, like, I think as I've seen it, it's on in the background of my house a lot. Like, it's not that funny, but, like, there's a lot of good values in the show. Unfortunately, Cosby himself did not live out the values portrayed on the show. The Office, I think, has the most potential to move up, just because I think I... was in a phase of life where I really liked it when I watched it, but I've watched season 7 recently and I really liked it. And I was like, probably if I went back through and watched the show, I'd probably...
It's so interesting to me because that's not the season that hooks people. Seasons 2 through 6 honestly hook people.
Yeah. So honestly, I think if I rewatch it, I'd probably fall in love with it. I mean, I'm going to watch 8 and 9 at some point, but I'm not expecting to like love them. And then, of course, Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul may very well be in my top 5 by the time I finish it. I have about a season and a half to go.
It's funny that we do honorable mentions first because I can already kind of predict what your top 5 will be based on that just because I know you well. But
oh, yeah. I had a couple animated ones, too. Solar Opposites, BoJack Horseman, and Phineas and Ferb.
You put Phineas and Ferb? Oh.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen enough of it like to put it in my favorites, but it's really good. I love any Phineas and Ferb episode I watch.
Ben, I've never been prouder. Okay. Well, starting with number 5, what do you have?
I have Stranger Things.
Okay.
I didn't really want to put this on my top 5, but I kind of just thought about all the TV shows I've watched all the way through, and I was like, okay. So I gave this, I rate everything out of 30 here, because we gave ourselves 3 different categories. So I gave the plot a 5, because I think Stranger Things has very up and down plot, like, because it started out as like a small thing, and then by season 4, it's this like huge, massive thing. And I don't know that I've settled on it, how much I really like some of the directions they've gone in, especially in seasons 3 and 4. But seasons 1 and 2 are like so good.
Yeah, you gotta focus on the peak. What was the peak season?
I think season 1, it's either season 1 or season 2. Okay. I haven't watched either of them in a while, but I think that was when I had the most enjoyment out of watching the show.
Yeah.
I think I did like parts of this last season, but my feeling after it ended was that it was like kind of overbloated, and I didn't really like how big Stranger Things had got. So that maybe is where I've kind of come down on the plot. We'll see how it finishes out with season 5. The characters I gave an 8 because there's lots of really good characters and you get time to spend with them. Some of the characters like Will, I wish were handled, like, I feel like they don't get as much screen time as maybe they should. And I don't know. There's some characters I don't think we necessarily have been handled as well, but like Steve, now I'm starting to forget people's names.
Nancy and Jonathan and Joyce and Nancy, Hopper.
And yeah, Nancy, Jonathan, Joyce, Hopper. Those,
and then there's
core,
the kids, Mike,
that core group.
Dustin, Lucas.
Yeah.
Max that, in season 2.
Yeah, and Max got a nice little arc in season 4. Yeah, so a lot of those characters have had really good development over time, and then you get to see them grow up and change because they're like so much younger in the first seasons compared to like where they are.
Yeah.
And they do a good job of developing them. Rewatchability, I'd give it a 6. It's not...
No, but hold on. Sorry. Rewatchability of the peak.
Oh, of the peak?
That's what we're talking about.
Maybe I give it a 7, which would tie it with the next one.
You're talking about like season 1.
Yeah.
Could be a 7 rewatchability.
Yeah, like there's other shows I'd rather rewatch probably before I would watch Stranger Things again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think season 1...
Because I think a lot of the suspense is what sells you on the first season. You don't necessarily get that back again.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I've seen the show 3 times now. And I don't get tired of season 1.
Okay.
I think specifically because of 2 things. One is the acting, specifically like Winona Ryder as Will's mom, Joyce Byers. She's amazing and she's freaked out. She's like one of the main characters and she's freaked out this entire season about her son Will. And then the mythology of it, like knowing the mythology of it in the canon, in the post season 1 seasons. That's a weird way to phrase it. Then the post season 1 seasons, you start to understand the first season more. And in fact, like you understand that even Vecna's in season 1, so it's
that,
like interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
So, for me, that's definitely 7's probably all right. Pretty good statement. All right, my number 5 is Community.
Wow, number 5.
Yeah, is that low?
No.
Okay, well, I'm assuming you're... I mean, I already know you have yours in your top... One of your top 4. Probably your number 1 or 2. But, no, I think Community is awesome. Russo Brothers, right?
Yeah, for some of it, for sure.
Yeah, some of
Dan Harmon was the main guy.
Yeah, so you got Rick and Morty, showrunners, producers, even writers. Russo Brothers were involved in it, so I'm always a fan of them. The acting, for me. The acting was awesome. Donald Glover is the best actor in the show. He portrays Troy, who's like an awesome character. Troy and Abed, just the dynamics that they have. Jeff Winger, like you think he's gonna be like this main character that has like a redemptive arc, but he really just is a d-bag the entire show, and it's hilarious. It's to its advantage, and you're even made to hate a character that it's so meta. That's the thing. It's so meta that you know that you're gonna hate this character, Britta, and we even had Britta moments with Britta in our earlier podcast. There's a segment where we would say the worst parts of the movie that we were are reviewing. But that's all I'll say about it, because I know you're going to talk about it more. But I think rewatchability is probably like a 9 or 10. If I'm comparing it to all the shows I've ever seen, it's probably a 9 or 10. I could easily put on something anytime. If I just got a gunshot wound, I could watch this. If I just won the lottery, I could watch this. So,
Yeah, especially if you're talking peak Community.
Mm-hmm. Like seasons 3 or 4, I'd say. Yeah. Or no, 3. Season 3 or 2.
Yeah, 2 or 3, mainly.
But characters, probably a solid 7. Probably solid 7, because they peak Community still has like some outlier characters that aren't the best. It never, here's the thing, the characters in Community were never all the best at the same time. Chang was the best when other characters were like have already left the show. I think like Chang was awesome in seasons 2 and 3, but like that's when Jeff still wasn't the best and Britta still wasn't the best. And then by the time like Troy and Abed had developed their relationship and they were the best in seasons 2 and 3, you know, by the time they like get into other storylines, like Pierce leaves and then Troy leaves after that, I just feel like none, it wasn't all good at the same time. So characters, solid 7. And then plot, I'd probably give it a 6 or 7. I don't know. But here's the thing. I'm not including like the way it's written. Writing is probably different than plot, I think, of overarching plot.
Yeah, it's harder for shows like that to have as good of overarching plots.
But in that's what we chose, and that's what we'll have to stick to. So probably a 6 or 7. What's your number 4?
My number 4, Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
This is a bit of a throwback, because I haven't actually watched the show in 4 or 5 years, but it's, like, I always found Parks and Rec to be a good, like, comfort show. I think I rated the characters an 8. I think the characters are what really win over the show. It's maybe not as witty as The Office, or as, like, The Office, since it's based in, like, a paper company, you get all of those little, like, subtle moments of like boring office life that I think people relate to a lot. It's a little bit more absurd with the idea of the Parks and Rec department, I think. But there's a lot of really good things about the show. The main actors, like Chris Pratt, Amy Poehler. I can't even remember these people. They're just all good. Ron Swanson's amazing.
Aziz Ansari. Tom.
Aziz Ansari is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick Offerman is Ron.
Yeah, and I just love. Yeah, I just love it.
Yeah,
okay. It's a great show. Yeah. There was and then like season 1 wasn't that good, and maybe season 7 wasn't that good, but the seasons in the middle were really good.
I agree with you though. I think the last 2 seasons when they do the flash forward,
yeah,
boring to me. Yeah, everybody's so happy the entire time. Their storylines are complete. It's so boring.
It's better when it's like there's little Sebastian and there's
yes,
like the relationship between Audrey Plaza and Chris Pratt coming to be.
That's such an odd relationship, by the way. Like,
yeah,
when you watch it play out in the show, like you don't expect it in the first season, and then it kind of happens after Andy and Anne break up, or Andy, right?
Yeah,
and Anne break up, and then like you kind of start seeing like you can't see any other way that it would work after you start seeing the relationship, because it's like he's so dumb and she's like much smarter than him, and it like it's so hilarious.
I kind of forgot about Anne, because she's in The Office too.
Yeah,
the actor who plays her.
Yeah, she's in The Office. She leaves the show, and I didn't care when she left the show.
No, I mean she's not the most impactful character on The Office.
Yeah,
but
yeah. So is that all you got to say about
That's all I have to say.
My number 4 is a show that I introduced to you. It's called The Midnight Gospel. It's an animation. It's a podcast. So it's what they do is they take, the Trestle. I forget his first name, but his name last name's Trestle, and he has this podcast where he has these different guests on, and they talk about stuff that I don't believe in, but a lot of different crazy transcendental arguments and stuff like that. The show itself is so fast-paced, and it's just a conversation between two characters, and the animation in it is so crazy, and it gives you a headache by the end of it, that I just fell in love with it, because it's such a new way to tell a story, and I thought it was so original and different that I really like it. Duncan Trussell, he's the podcast host, And there are a few good episodes where they get into really good not arguments, but conversations with many different guests, and the animation going on just not only adds to it, but makes it feel like what is being said is important, even when it's not. Like, even when what they're saying is garbage, which some of it is. But that's my number four, because I could definitely rewatch that a ton. Just like falling asleep watching that animation, getting my eyes completely fried. And the characters, there's only one character, so I'd probably give the characters probably a low score, like 5 or so. And then, so rewatchability would probably be an 8. And then plot, I'd probably give a 9, because the plot is structured around a conversation between two characters, and I love that.
Yeah.
But like, and there is an overarching plot with the show. It's very subtle, and it's just about him running away from his problems. And I think that's good. So, and I think it works. It's subtle, and that it doesn't mean that's bad. It's subtle in a good way.
Yeah, I saw an episode, and it was crazy. I wasn't sure what I was watching, but it was something that was intriguing. So I'll have to check it out more.
Yep. What's your number 3?
Yep, number 3 is Community.
Okay. What do you got to say? What do you got to add?
I don't have much more to add to Community. I think Community's a show that it's so goofy that sometimes you're like, oh, this show's just, it's just silly, and like, I don't know whether I should take this seriously, but at the same time, it's one of the smartest shows I've ever seen, and it's so memorable. It's hard to explain to somebody who hasn't seen it too. Like, I know when there's somebody who hasn't seen Community, I'm like, oh, you gotta watch it. It's like, and then I start struggling with my words because I don't know how to explain what it's like, because it only makes sense within the world that it is. I'm like, there's this character, his name's Abed, he like pretends like his life is a TV show, but then you're watching the show and it's actually a TV show. So he says stuff like it's a TV show, but it is a TV show. So
he looks at the camera, but it's within canon.
Yeah,
and you actually don't think that he realizes that you exist. You think that it's just in his head, but he's actually looking at you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And it's like you think he's like somewhat self-aware that he's not in a TV show, but he actually is, so he's not wrong. So it's confusing to explain to people, but it creates so much potential for so many interesting ideas. And some of them, like, sometimes things don't work, I think, in the show, but there's a lot of things that did work. And like the idea of like a community school where you get all these people from all different paths of life and cultural backgrounds and everything, and they have to be together, or they don't have to be together, but they start
they
to
eventually
like,
choose
they eventually start to become a family. And then, like, the issues, I mean, any family has issues, so then you start to have issues within the family.
And they get into really good topics, too, like, stuff like that you wouldn't think, like, they talk about, like, oh, like, you treat me like the mother of the group, talking about Shirley, and, like, stuff like that, like, what other shows are talking about weird, subtle, nuanced relationships like that? So the relationships in that show are really amazing.
Yeah, and you got, like, Chevy Chase, who's, like, the racist old guy in the group, and
he doesn't even have to act.
And he doesn't even have to act because he actually was. and then you have Donald Glover, who's like the cool guy, but he's actually a nerd, which I think that's like a relatable thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of people who are cool guys, or think that they're cool guys, but they're actually more of nerds.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to like figure that out.
And there's Abed, who's so confident in who he is.
Yeah.
And just does things in his own way and relates to people through movies and TV shows, which is amazing, because that's kind of, we might think in that way too, you know.
Yeah.
Whenever we see a situation in real life, we think of like a movie scene, so that's he's inspirational to
a
us.
A lot of times I think that like you and I are like somehow a mix of Troy and Abed.
Oh yeah,
like not necessarily that one of us is Troy and one of us is Abed,
but if you had to choose,
I think I would be Troy and you would be Abed. But I think there's some situations where I'm Abed and you're Troy.
Yeah,
so it doesn't always go.
I think that's fair. But I think more than the average.
Yeah.
I'm probably Abed. I think you're right.
Yeah. And so, I think those central characters, Jeff Winger's great. He's kind of like the Better Call Saul of the show, like with his lawyerisms, but he's like the necessary like group leader, but he's often doing it because it's just like too inconvenient for him not to lead. And then you have Britta, who everyone hates, and what's Alison Brie's character?
Annie,
who's like the driven younger person in the group, who's like more like a traditional college student. They all just kind of work together. It's a really amazing show, and I think because of when it was, like when it came out, I think it was underappreciated, and because maybe not everyone's drawn to that like zany meta type of humor, or maybe it was a little ahead of its time even.
I truly think that people who don't like it really don't get it.
Yeah.
I truly think that. That sounds so pretentious, but like it has something in there for everyone, I think. Yeah, that's why I think I'm saying it.
Yeah. Now, it does really fall off after season 4, especially.
Yeah.
Season 4 falls off from season 3, but see, there's a big cliff.
Yeah.
And season 6 is like almost unwatchable.
How long did it take us to watch season 6?
Like a whole year.
I think so. Like we spread out like once every month. Yeah. We had to trench through.
It was like Yahoo, whatever, bought it. It doesn't even exist anymore.
I can't even. Yeah, what was that?
Yahoo, I think.
Yeah, but what was the service called? I can't remember.
I forget what it was called, but it was not great. I mean, there were some episodes that was like, I appreciate what they're trying to do here, but it just doesn't work. Especially because they kept having to add new characters because old characters left. And I love Jonathan Banks from Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, but... and he wasn't even bad in Community. He just didn't add the... He didn't have what, like, Chevy Chase had. I hate saying that, but Chevy Chase was a better character than some of the characters they added at the end.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, my number 3 is going off with Jonathan Banks, Breaking Bad.
Mm.
Most people probably know about Breaking Bad. A high school chemistry teacher goes and gets lung cancer that's terminal, doesn't have any money to leave his family, so he goes off and starts a meth drug empire with his former high school student.
As one does.
Yeah. And it's just, I think people are like, oh yeah, the concept would be popular. That's such a unique thing to create a show about. But it's not the concept of the show that makes it cool. And the thing that makes it cool is just the acting. The acting and the writing. So it's just, you really get into the characters. So characters for me is 10, for sure. For sure, 10. I would also give Better Call Saul characters a 10. But those are my honorable mentions. Yeah, rewatchability, less. Definitely less. You have to take your time with this one. It is like waiting in line for a really cool roller coaster, because although waiting in line once for a really cool roller coaster is worth it, sometimes I don't want to ride, you know, the dragster again if the line's 4 hours.
Yeah.
But that one time was awesome. But I did rewatch it again. It was awesome. It was worth it. Just space it out. So probably a 7, even though that's still pretty high. But for this show and how amazing it is, that's lower. And then... plot, definitely like a 9, I'd say. I don't think it's a 10. I don't know what a 10 would be. I think I have a 10, but I just think of a few flaws in this. But really, generally, the plot in this is just so well structured, and it was so planned since the beginning. Seeds started sprouting since the beginning. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. What's your number 2?
My number 2. I realized I forgot to give my ratings for the last two. So Parks and Rec, I gave 5 on plot, 8 on character, 7 on rewatchability. Community, I gave 9 on plot. I'm not sure it's a 9. Maybe like a 7. 7 on plot, 7 on characters. Because I keep struggling with the peak versus the whole of the show, because there's some parts where there's brilliance and some parts where there... But the rewatchability is really high. It's like 9
mm-hmm.
for Community. And then my second is Breaking Bad.
Okay. What do you have to add?
And I don't have much to add. I gave plot a 10. I think it's amongst the best plots constructed. The characters, I was on the fence between a 9 and 10. I don't know if that really matters. I'm trying to think who the weak link would be. There's not really a weak...
Because like,
Walt Jr., like, maybe Skyler, he doesn't have the best...
Marie.
Skyler.
Probably Marie.
Marie, but she even is...
They all serve a good purpose.
They all have like their point in being there.
Walt Jr. is pretty useless.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He might be the one who's kind of like the weak link. Yeah, Flynn. Like, yeah, I like it. I like him being on the show, but like, if you were to argue who has less of an impact on the overall show, you might go, yeah, Walt Jr. isn't as impactful.
Fair enough.
And yeah, I gave rewatchability a 7 as well, because I just think that it's such a good show, but it's kind of a slow burn type thing, so
mm-hmm.
it's not necessarily the easiest to go back and rewatch.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like twists, so anything that has a lot of twists isn't as rewatchable, because you need some time to forget the twists.
Yeah,
because it somewhat relies on you being like, oh my goodness, this is what happened.
Sure.
So yeah.
Yep. My number 2 is The Office. Rewatchability 10, maybe 11 if that's possible. I think this is the show I fall asleep to. You know that, Ben?
Yeah.
And I think Yeah, I mean, I feel like people know what I have to say, so I'm not going to say anything else. Characters, probably 7. I think Michael Scott's awesome. Jim's awesome. Dwight's pretty good. Dwight, like, I'm just thinking, like, these how they're written over the over the whole series. So I'd probably give it a 7. Not a 10. Nowhere close to
it. There's so many characters, it'd be hard to...
Yeah, there's so many characters, and there really are faults to the show that are very visible. Especially the beginning and the end of the show. And what's the third one? Plot? I think I had it at 7. I was thinking a 7. Because it has some really good, really good plots between characters. It's character driven. Yeah. So it's all, the plots are all interpersonal. And I think that works to its advantage because that's what the show's about, is people and paper. So, yeah. What's your number one?
I feel like you're going to be, I don't know that you're expecting my number one, but you might have ruled everything else out.
I'll twist it.
My number one show.
Wait. Let me guess. Wait. Give me a hint and I'll guess.
Yeah, a hint?
Yeah.
What show have I not said? Of all the shows that I've said. I've said a lot of shows that you would have expected me to say.
Rick and Morty?
It's
no
Rick
way.
And Morty.
Your number one's Rick and Morty.
My number one show is Rick and Morty. And I don't know whether this is like a good choice or... But for whatever reason, in the moment, I'm just like... And it's really close between Rick and Morty and Breaking Bad. There's like 1 point separating them. Okay. And I really think that when I finish Better Call Saul... I depends on how the end goes, but it really has a chance to be higher than both of these. But... Rick and Morty, I gave plot a 10, which is kind of ridiculous because there's so many people complain about the plot. But I've never watched a season of Rick and Morty and been like, I hate this. Like, I always love every season. And the thing is, the plot, it's not necessarily cohesive, but I go into the show not expecting everything to be explained. I think the Rick and Morty fans who get annoyed are the ones who are like, they have to explain this and that, and I don't care about that.
This is what you love about it, Ben. Let me tell you what you love about it.
What?
I think you love the meta-ness of it, the metality. I don't know if that's a word. Yeah. Because there's an episode like where they're on a train and there's like a canon train, you know? And it's like they're making fun of the fans for wanting more canon events rather than just having episodic adventures. And then they like have to choose between it, and it's like, oh, we'll do some of each. Like, and they're trying to compromise to the fans, but like the fans really didn't get much after that in that season. Like, and it was just kind of for the fans, it's like those types of fans, it's disappointing. For you, you don't care because they're at least acknowledging it, and you like to be self-aware to that point where if I can make a mistake, as long as I acknowledge it.
Yeah. And I don't think Rick and Morty is a perfect show, and I might be overrating it a bit, probably a lot honestly, but there's so many things that are just so fun. But the initial concept of they're taking Back to the Future, taking this idyllic sort of relationship, and they're just showing like two, really one pretty flawed guy.
How abusive, like, that relationship could possibly be.
Yeah, and then Morty, who's like, I mean, I don't know that he's as flawed as Rick, but he's like trying to grow up, and he has probably the worst grandpa of all time, mm-hmm. and some not great parents, and it just shows. I don't know. It just shows a reality to life where there's just like a lot of like fractured relationships. I mean, I get a little annoyed by some things, like how much they drag Jerry, but Jerry's almost interesting because it's like they lean so far into the deadbeat dad kind of aesthetic that it like is like almost like making fun of it to a degree. And then even the mom, who's like supposed to be like the one, like, he's strong in the family, like, messes up all the time, and it, you know, she's a horse surgeon, and she always has to, like,
make up for that.
You're not a real surgeon, you're a horse surgeon. And there's so many things, and Summer's great, and the rivalry between her and Morty, and there's a lot of weird things about the show. There's a lot of things that probably have to be shown that were shown in the show.
One of my favorite parts is where, was it The Purge? And they go to this guy who has a lighthouse, and he's like holding the lighthouse, and he goes in and he's like, let me read you this story. And he reads it, and he's like, didn't like this story. And Morty just pushes him down the stairs and kills him at the end.
Yeah. So I mean, good. The show is absurd. And if you love absurdism, it's crazy.
And it's self-aware. It's good.
And I give characters an 8 because I'm like, they're not all like, I don't think they did every like character arc perfectly. But they're good characters, the central ones.
Do you think the new seasons will be ever peaking?
No, okay, so that is a good question. The rewatchability, I gave a 10 for the seasons that are out. I don't know, because...
With all this Justin Roiland stuff, what do you think? I don't know.
Yeah, if Justin Roiland doesn't come back, there's a chance that this will never be... Like, the first what is it, 5 seasons?
There are 6 right now.
6?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, I don't know whether I've seen 6 yet. So it's, I don't know whether I really should have counted this, but I've seen all of them that have been available to me. But after, if Justin Roiland never comes back, it may never be the show that it was. Because, I mean, he literally voices the main 2 characters.
Yeah. I think he'll come back.
Yeah.
I don't think the show will be as good, though.
No, it probably won't be.
I think they'll have to
tame it. What do you think the peak season was? Like, about season 3 or so?
Like, Pickle Rick season? That's season 3.
Season 2 or 3, maybe.
I think, like, Meeseeks. A lot of people. And,
Meeseeks. I love the one where they, with Mr. Poofy Butthole, and where they think that they have this thing in their brain where they like they are like, hey, who's this random person? I love that. I think about that episode all the time.
Aberdolf Winkler?
Yeah. There's so many episodes like that, and I need to get back on having something that like Hulu or something where I can keep watching
through it. Pencilvester.
Because there's,
I'm just remembering some of these.
There's so many. We should watch a Rick and Morty episode
We should. After. What's the Slow Mobius? Hit it, Slow Mobius.
They always have to be like, yeah, this guy has to be real, right? Because they love him so much.
Sleepy Gary.
Sleepy Gary.
I'm just remembering some of these. I'm not even looking these up.
Yeah. Yeah. That episode. Pickle Rick's like the meme episode. It's not even the best episode in the show, but it is memorable. I think a lot of people think that ruined the show, the like meme, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think the fan base makes the show a little bit cringy. Yeah. To me, where it's not even in my top 5 right now. But I think the actual content without the fan base is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think I don't pay attention that much to the fan base.
We should be grateful for what we have instead of like being negative about like, oh, the fan base makes it cringy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like that. I just take the content.
I do think the fan base is just expecting something that Justin Roiland, Dan Harmon, like, don't want to... Like,
the Szechuan sauce was a bad idea. Very bad idea. People were raging at McDonald's, jumping on each other, jumping off, and
yeah,
screaming.
Yeah, Szechuan sauce was crazy.
Rick.
I do think it's fascinating how much of an impact it's made on like the cultural zeitgeist.
Like within a year of it being out, too.
Yeah, like all of a sudden you would just see Rick and Morty stuff anywhere. That was like before I even watched Rick and Morty. There are songs about Rick and Morty. We would reference Rick and Morty, like. And it was almost like it was like The Simpsons or Family Guy, and it only been out for like a year. Yeah. So,
well, that's a good transition. So my number one is The Simpsons.
Oh, I should have expected this.
So that's classic. It's not emotions for me. Even though with emotions, it would multiply by 10. Because my family watched this, you know, not growing up, but my family watched it and wouldn't let me watch it until I turned 13. And then on my 13th birthday, I was given... Never mind. It's no emotions. And the this show is a 10 for rewatchability for me. I think it's the most well-written TV show in its prime, because the Simpsons writers have influenced every other show that's ever existed, by the way. Any show that's ever existed, including SNL or anything after that, has said that the Simpsons is some of its influence, because the Simpsons has done every scenario you could possibly... Think of a scenario in your head, and it's happened. There are 700-something episodes right now. I've seen them all. And the show, in its peak, which is seasons like... probably 2, 3 through maybe 10. I'd say that's its peak. And then I think the teens are really good too. And then I think the 20s are rougher. And then the mid-30s right now are getting a little bit better. Even though they're under Disney, some of the writing is getting better. Even though The Simpsons doesn't poke fun at the culture anymore because it's afraid.
Because it's under Disney.
Yeah, correct. But... I think, well, it's getting its heart back. It didn't have a heart in seasons 20, in the 20th seasons, those 10 seasons, it didn't have a heart. But I think that show, what it had is characters, very relatable, and I give that like an 8. Like, Homer is they go so deep with these characters, it's just that, like, they make them so relatable and put them in so many scenarios that are relatable. That, even though relatability is something that I'm excluding, it's like, and cultural impact is also something I'm excluding, but they make them so relatable, and the impact on the culture was incredible. It's Homer Simpson is recognized by any human being or any fetus just born. You know what I mean? Like, anybody knows Homer Simpson and Bart Simpson and Doe and his catchphrase and stuff like that. But to me, the writing in it is just amazing. So characters, whatever, what I say, 7 or 8, and plot. There's no overarching plot, so I don't know how to do that, because all the shows that we've mentioned so far have some type of overarching plot. Simpsons doesn't. Simpsons has a few 2-part episodes, only like maybe four by this point, the last three being in the last 5 years. So Who Shot Mr. Burns was between season 6 and 7. That's kind of an overarching plot, so I'll give that a solid 5, because that's not much, but that's what we're grading it by, so I have to stick by that. But The Simpsons for me being a 12-13 rewatchability, so. And with emotions, times 10, like I said. With emotions, times 10. With cultural impact, times 10. With relevance, importance, relatability, and totality of the series. Well, not totality of the series. Everything else, times 10. The totality of the series would divide it by probably 30. Because the show's definitely decreased in quality. But anyway, that's our top 5 TV shows.
If I were to guess in the next, 10 years... my list is going to change a lot. I don't know if you feel the same about your list. Because I think I'm going to finish watching some of these on the honorable mention list, and they'll pass by. Well, Stranger Things wasn't in your top 5, right? Or was it?
No. Not even in a...
See,
I would have put it in my honorable mentions if I remembered.
Yeah. See, I feel like Stranger Things was almost in there by default, and it's going to fall out as soon as I finish one of these other shows.
I know I'm more into TV shows than you. But yeah. You're way more into movies than me. But... I think my list will be similar for The Simpsons and The Office.
Yeah.
I think Community will stay up there. Midnight Gospel might not age well, maybe. I could easily see Breaking Bad not aging well as well for me.
Yeah. Breaking Bad's a tough
one. I think stuff that I'm going to keep researching and getting into are The Simpsons and The Office. Because those are where my heart is. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's fair enough.
I think, yeah. We'll have to see. We'll have to do another one in 10 years, Ben.
Yep.
10-year reunion. Hey, we got our 100th episode coming up in 10 episodes of our actual movie reviews. Episode 90. Hopefully, that's already out.
We're trying to plan something huge for 100.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see if it makes the news.
Local cinema podcast blows up after 100th episode.
Interesting.
Maybe.
So we have a geographical area that blows up.
I think we
up.
Should try to have our 100th episode recorded at the Coffee Vault in Galena.
That's a good idea if it's not crazy busy.
No, it would have to be we have somehow get them to let us do it after hours, I would think.
And say that.
Because they probably wouldn't want us interrupting their business day.
Okay. I mean, if we're a patron there, then they can let us do whatever we want, right? We can just walk in and do something.
I mean, yes.
We can walk in and talk. We'll just have background noise.
True.
We can tell everyone to shut up. I can bring my dad in.
True. True.
Yeah.
That's just an idea.
No, that's a good idea. Or New York. Yeah.
Or we also have to consider what... I wonder what time of year it will be.
We could go in the Metropolitan.
Back in school.
The opera.
Go in the Metropolitan.
Be like, this is really good.
We should do the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
What do you think?
Not a museum? No, I don't want that to be our 100th episode. I don't.
Maybe 200.
Ben Stiller. Did you know Ben Stiller is Jewish?
Really?
I had no idea. I learned that
yesterday.
Did
you know, who's Ant-Man?
Paul Rudd.
He's Jewish.
Paul Rudd is Jewish.
I think so.
He looks like Ben Stiller a little bit. They got the same forehead.
Paul, because I saw an interview where it came up.
Are you sure it wasn't Ben Stiller?
I don't think it was Ben Stiller, although I'm not shocked by that.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting to me. And, what does it say?
I think it said basically he was Jewish. I mean, I don't know.
Basically he's Jewish, not fully, but basically.
I don't know if he's 100% Jewish.
Okay.
He could just be half Jewish or something.
Okay. All right.
It's always a possibility.
Well, when do you not become something, by the way? What percentage of a race, like if I'm 1% Native American, do I call myself Native American?
I think after half, it becomes less important.
Okay. So a fourth, I can't say I'm Native
American.
A
fourth, you maybe have an argument, but an eighth, you're
so
like,
you're
okay.
Saying, I'm going to say this. You're saying Elizabeth Warren should not be calling herself a Native American.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, good. All right. I'm just wondering, at one point...
that's 1/16th, so that's not even close to 1/4.
No, I'm glad you gave me a number, because my mind is quantitative. I need to know, where does the threshold for calling yourself a certain race, you know? I don't know. And none of us are purebreds anymore. We've all intermixed enough, you know?
Yeah.
We're a savage country and world. We just like to mate with each other in random places.
Yep.
And intermix and interbreed. Hopefully not with close relatives.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, we'll get a turn left or wrong turn type of movie with the inbred people eating other people. Yep. So, anyway, at that note, let's end this.
Okay. Yep.
Well, we'll see you next time.
Yep. See you next time.